An Answered Prayer, Chapter 57. You go to church Sundays, don't you? Every day the Bible is read in your home, isn't it? Probably you are thinking, what strange questions. Isn't that usually done? Isn't that taken as a matter of course? Yes, it is. But think of the thousands upon thousands of heathen children. They have no Bible in their homes. They don't know that the Bible exists. We hear the nice stories in God's Word, and also are told about them in school and at the catechism classes. But those heathen children do not know the Bible stories. We know that the Lord Jesus has come and that he has suffered and died to save his elect. But those children have never even heard of the Lord Jesus. Why do we and not those poor heathens have the Bible? Are we better than those millions of people? No, no, indeed not. Oh, the Lord has given us his word. We hear daily that we still can be converted. We are told that we should ask the Lord often for a new heart. That is not said to those heathen children. Do you ever think about that? Having the word of God and being able to go to church are great privileges. And today there are thousands of people in our own country who do not care to go to church anymore. Many people remain home on Sunday, or they use the day of the Lord as a day of pleasure. But did the Lord give us Sunday for that purpose? Surely not, did he? The Lord requires of us that on Sunday we come together to the house of the Lord. These are the exact words as they are recorded in the Bible, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In these days it is so easy to remain home unnecessarily, for many people have the radio and television in their house. Ministers also speak over them. Isn't that very easy? If it is a warm summer's day, the people can remain at home. If it is exceedingly cold in the winter, they can remain at home. If it rains a little, the people can remain at home. If it is very windy, yes, whatever the weather may be, the people can remain at home. They sit before the radio or television and listen to a sermon. Many people say, that is just as well. No, children, that is not just as well, for then we do not obey the command of the Lord, which says that we must come together to the house of the Lord. Do you do that at your home too? Do you often remain home when it is not necessary to listen to a sermon on the radio? Do you? I hope you do not. Today the radio is shamefully misused. I warn you against this evil with all the seriousness that is in me. Oh, never willfully and unnecessarily neglect the services of the Lord. Be thankful that you still can go to church. Often ask the Lord to sanctify his word to your heart. Every Sunday, when you neglect going to church without having a lawful reason, will one day testify against you. Even if you do listen Sunday after Sunday to a sermon over the radio, before God's face it will be of no value, for by all those things God's command is broken. The Israelites did not go to church every Sabbath day. The tabernacle of the Israelites stood in Shiloh. 3 times a year they went to Shiloh at the time of the 3 great feasts. You still remember that, don't you? During the time of the judges, many people in Israel did not care to go either, and they would sooner remain at home and serve the idols. These idols stood everywhere. The people could easily remain in their own village, and they need not leave home. That is fine. Shiloh is too far away. But the Lord did not approve of it, and he punished them. The enemies came and plundered everything. Still, there were always some people in Israel who did go to Shiloh time and again, and who did not participate in the ungodly heathen feasts. One day we see a small group of people enter the village of Shiloh. This group consists of a man, two women, and several children. The name of the man is Elkanah. He lives in Ramathaim Zophim, a village that lies in the possession of the tribe of Ephraim. Still, he is no Ephraimite. He is a Levite, one from the tribe of Levi. He has two wives. The one is named Peninnah, and the other Hannah. In those days, a man often had two or more wives, isn't that so? Jacob also had more than one wife, didn't he? That was not good, but it was permitted. Today it is not permitted, which is a good thing. The children who are walking in this group are children of Peninnah. What about the children of Hannah? Where are they? Alas, Hannah has no children. This is a very sad thing for her, because in Israel it was a disgrace when a woman had no children. One thing was well for Hannah. Her husband Elkanah loved her a great deal, much more than he loved Peninnah. Elkanah traveled to Shiloh, and where the tabernacle stood whenever it was time for the great feasts. He never stayed home during these feast days. Elkanah was one of the few Israelites who did not join in worshiping the idols. He did not bend his knees before those stone images. When he came to Shiloh, he brought for himself and his family an offering, a cow or a sheep. After he sacrificed, he ate with his wives and children. They each received a portion, but Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion. Elkanah did this because he loved her so much. He would honor her. But then Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, became jealous. She could not endure Elkanah favoring Hannah. Oh, look, Peninnah looked so displeased. She cast angry glances at Hannah. She cannot bear that Elkanah thinks more of Hannah than of her. She thinks, just wait, I will get you. When she is alone with Hannah, she teases her. She says teasingly, serves you right. You have no children, I have. Hannah hears this, and she is grieved. When Peninnah sees this, she enjoys it. But Peninnah did this purposely to torment her. She did not do this one time, but Peninnah deliberately provoked her continually. That is nasty. That is cowardly. That is cruel. Hannah cannot help that she has no children. She often wept about it. When it is mealtime, Hannah cannot eat. She is so distressed. At one time, they again sit down to eat. Hannah does not touch her food because Peninnah had teased her so badly. Elkanah sees that Hannah eats nothing. He asks her kindly, "Hannah, what is the trouble? Why don't you eat?" Even though you do not have any children, I am very fond of you, do you hear? He tries to comfort her. Hannah begins to cry much more than ever. She cannot give an answer. What must she say? She cannot tell him everything, can she? No, neither does she want to tell about Peninnah. She leaves the table and goes away. Is she angry? It is quiet and peaceful at the tabernacle. No one is to be seen. The tabernacle seems to be deserted. Look, someone is there. He is Eli, the high priest. He sits upon a chair at the entrance. A woman comes walking forward. When she comes to the outer court, she falls down upon her knees. Eli braces himself and looks at her. Oh, he thinks, that woman is acting so strange. He sees her lips moving, but he hears nothing. Then he becomes angry, for he thinks that she is drunken. Drunken? Yes, that happened again and again in those days. Even in Shiloh, things did not go so well. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests, but these two men were ungodly priests. They did not worship the Lord, but they did all kinds of wicked and evil things. They were two ungodly men, of whom Eli had much grief, for Eli was a converted man. Because of the wickedness of these two priests, terrible things happened in Shiloh. The few Israelites who still came to Shiloh no longer have respect for the service of the Lord. Sometimes drunken people came to the tabernacle. Terrible, wasn't it? Therefore, Eli thought that this woman also was drunken. He leaves his chair, walks to this woman, and says angrily, "Woman, stand up. Don't you shame yourself to come here drunken? How dare you? Go home and come back when you are no longer drunken." This woman rises from her kneeling posture, and Eli immediately sees that he is mistaken. This woman is not drunken. She has been weeping, for her face is wet with tears. Who is this woman? You already know, don't you? She is Hannah, the wife of Elkanah. She arose from the table and went away. She was not angry. She was distressed. She was heartbroken. She walked to the tabernacle to tell her distress to the Lord. Do you also do that when you are grieved? Hannah had prayed to the Lord, asking him to help her. O Lord, she had whispered softly, if thou wilt answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give that child to thee. That child will be dedicated to thee. I will never permit his hair to be cut. No razor shall come upon his head. Hannah continued to pray. Suddenly she was cruelly disturbed in her prayer by the angry voice of Eli, who thinks she is drunken. No, my Lord, is Hannah's answer. No, my Lord, I am not drunken, but I am sorrowful, and I have told it all to the Lord. I have prayed to God. Now that Eli realizes that he had made such a gross mistake with this woman, he is alarmed. Oh, how dissatisfied he was with what he had just done. He speaks kindly to her. He will make it well again. Yes, he blesses her. Go in peace, solemnly rings his voice. The Lord will answer your prayer. The Lord will grant your petition. Hannah goes away. She returns to her husband, but also to Peninnah, her teaser. She is no longer sad. She is no longer distressed. A quiet peace has come into her heart, not only because of what Eli had said, but she believes that God has heard and will answer her prayer. The Lord gave her that faith. Early the next morning, Elkanah returns to his dwelling place. Peninnah teases and torments Hannah continuously. She cannot stop it. But Hannah is no longer troubled thereby. She lets Peninnah tease. She doesn't become grieved about it either, for she knows that Peninnah cannot tease her much longer. Peninnah again tries to make Hannah cry, but she fails completely. Hannah remains cheerful and genial. Peninnah thinks it a pity. Yes, sometimes she is a little uneasy. What has happened? Formerly she always succeeded. Now she never does. Yes, Peninnah, you do not know why, and Hannah will not tell you, but later you will see why. A short time later, Hannah really received a son. She calls her child Samuel, which means asked of God. Oh, Peninnah does not like that. She cannot tease and torment Hannah anymore. Hannah is glad and thankful. The Lord is so good to her. Elkanah is also glad. He now loves Hannah still more, and Peninnah can do nothing against it. Hannah can sing now, and she did too. We can read her song of praise in the Bible. Look for it and read it. The next time Elkanah goes to Shiloh, Hannah remains at home. She must take care of little Samuel. She says to Elkanah, "Husband, this time I am not going with you. But when my child is older, then I will bring my boy to Shiloh, and he shall remain there always." Elkanah says that is good. So Elkanah and Peninnah, with her children, journey alone without Hannah. But Hannah is not grieved because of it.